Sand Talk, How Indigenous Thinking Can Save the World, by Tyson Yunkaporta. All humans evolved within complex, land-based cultures over deep time to develop a brain with a capacity for over 100 trillion neural connections, of which we now use only a tiny fraction. Most of us have been displaced from these cultures of origin. A global diaspora of refugees suffered not only from land, but from the sheer genius that comes from belonging in symbiotic relation to it. In Aboriginal Australia, our elders tell us stories, ancient narratives, to show that if you don't move with the land will move you. There is nothing permanent about settlements and the civilizations that spawn them. Maybe the reason all the powerful instruments pointed at the sky have not yet been able to detect high-tech alien civilizations is that these sustainable societies don't last long enough to leave a cosmic trace, an unsettling thought. Perhaps we need to revisit the brilliant thought paths of our Paleolithic ancestors and recover enough cognitive function to correct the impossible messes civilization has created. The stories that define our thinking today describe an eternal battle between good and evil, springing from an originating act of sin. But these terms are just metaphors for something more difficult to explain, a relatively recent demand that simplicity and order be imposed upon the complexity of creation, a demand sprouting from an ancient seed of narcissism that has flourished due to a new imbalance of human societies. There is a pattern to the universe and everything in it, and there are knowledge systems and traditions that follow this pattern to maintain balance, to keep the temptations of narcissism in check. But recent traditions have emerged that break down creation systems like a virus, infecting complex patterns with artificial simplicity, exercising a civilizing control over what some see as chaos. The Sumerians started it. The Romans perfected it. The Anglosphere inherited it. The world is now mired in it. The war between good and evil is in reality an imposition of stupidity and simplicity over wisdom and complexity. And so opens Sand Talk by Tyson Yunkaporta. When I was young, I was quite taken with books like this one. Perhaps you were too. Books that spoke of mindscapes and worlds we could sometimes touch with our spirits, but could never quite wrestle into firm existence, could never quite put down on paper. These worlds, these states of being, if you will, would always find a way to scamper away, only to be sought again and again and again. Religions offer some entree to these worlds and some solace when we only briefly touch upon them. Philosophy, often deeply connected with religions, sometimes not, seems to offer similar opportunities to poke and prod and delve. And two, I guess I've always kept a soft spot in my heart, if not my head, for what some dismiss as pop philosophy, but I prefer to see as readable attempts to move beyond traditional explanations of the universe and our place in it. If you've had similar inclinations or even passions in your life earlier or in the now, Sand Talk is a book I think you'll find worthy of a read. My coming upon Sand Talk on that new bookshelf was quite tempting, and it remained so even as I delved into its often convoluted writing. Convoluted to me, to the author, it's a best-I-can-do explanation of ways of thinking and living that defy our conventional Western, he'd probably say first world, way of looking at and understanding the world around us. Not unlike the delightful struggles in books I read, and perhaps you read, at the beginning of this review, Sand Talk gets us thinking through Australian Aboriginal worldviews. Worldviews, our author tells us, that can be similar with first people found around the world. And so it is that our author leads us on a true adventure for our minds. In Sand Talk's chapter 1, he takes up the wisdom of physics, sharing a few of his yarning times with fellow originals who have taken up the study of the Aristotelian sciences, and comes to realize that first world science and originals' thinking are not always juxtaposed in opposition, It just depends on which avenue the thinker wishes to take in their study of nature. He then goes on to talk about the first and second laws of thermodynamics and how they intersect, or not, with original expressions about the universe. A very interesting way to open the book. Further chapters take us into other worlds of our existence on this earth, in this world. And through it all, Santok is prodding us into a different way of thinking, or different ways of thinking, different for most of us anyway, not attempting to totally disrupt Western first world thought, but trying instead to gently nudge us into seeing the world and our place in it through a different sense of reality. Reality can have more than one meaning, one has to admit, to get very far in Santok. As another reviewer adds, quote, Santok is a unique book, a collection of philosophical musings by indigenous author Tyson Yunkaporta that both delights and intrigues. Using the Aboriginal custom of drawing images on the ground to bring clarity of thought, the author uses patterns, symbols, and shapes to make sense of the world, end quote. I, as other reviewers, don't pretend to get the full intake of Santok offered to us as readers. It is a book that undoubtedly benefits from more than one reading, and probably more than one reading at different ages of our lives. Reading this book is much more of a journey into a different land, very much like those books on philosophy and religion that tempted and stretched my mind, perhaps yours, as a youth. A disruptive note now. I had high hopes for this book as I read through it, and I do still recommend it to your attention, with the warning that in the midst of an engrossing look at Aboriginal ways of thinking and experiencing, Santok takes a very, very simplified and negative view of explaining the origins of how we learn about Western history. And you have to kind of read the book to understand why that is even important to him. Yunkaporta's words are jarring here as they attempt in a few pages to simplify a complex modern history of our times into a few jointed jabs at the first world's ways. In doing so, I fear he does a poor job of bringing in a serious reader such as myself, perhaps as you, who wants to learn from this book's thesis, who wants to take the other complex thoughts and arguments of Santok seriously, for this is indeed a complex and deeply thought-out book. Glossing over centuries of Western history, as he does in this passage of less than a chapter, is a less than stellar part of an otherwise fascinating book. A strange book to read in the summer, perhaps, but through its larger-than-not print and shorter-than-not number of pages, we get to glimpse a culture we like to say we celebrate in this wonder-filled 21st century of ours, the native inhabitants of our lands, the Aboriginal peoples. With Santok, we're invited to get to know those cultures a bit better. The book ends with a good summary of how we can begin to look at the world in this way. Yunkaporta calls it respect, connect, reflect, direct, in that order, as he writes. The first step of respect is aligned with values and protocols of introduction, setting rules and boundaries. This is the work of your spirit, your gut. The second step, connect, is about establishing strong relationships and routines of exchange that are equal for all involved. Your way of being is your way of relating, because all things only exist in relationship to other things. This is the work of your heart. The third step, reflect, is about thinking as part of the group and collectively establishing a shared body of knowledge to inform what you will do. This is the work of the head. The final step, direct, is about acting on the shared knowledge in ways that are negotiated by all. This is the work of the hands. Respect, connect, reflect, direct, in that order, he writes. Everything in creation is sentient and carries knowledge. Therefore, everything is deserving of our respect, even narcissists. He concludes, my hope is that one day everybody can find a place under the law of the land where they live, transitioning our living systems into something that is sustainable in the true sense of the world. We'd like everybody to look up at the stars and see the same stories there once more. And stop asking the question, are we alone? Of course we're not. Everything in the universe is alive and full of knowledge. Now that the small questions of existence have been answered, he writes, where are we? How should we live? Why are we? What will happen when we die? Us too should be able to get back to the business of asking some of the bigger questions. We'll need living lands and bodies to do that, though. So let's put these hands of ours to work. It's a book that you have to think about, you have to delve into, and you have to let your mind kind of accept a different way of thinking, at least a different way of thinking for many of us. Sand Talk, How Indigenous Thinking Can Save the World, by Tyson Yunkaporta. It's quite a good read. I hope you give it a chance. I hope you pick it up. Give it a read. See what you think. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, whether in person or through curbside service. And certainly, it's available at the West Lafayette Public Library. Thank you for listening.